B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
In a very short amount of time, we get to hear more from this man, Mr. Mark Zumoff, on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. How are you today, sir?
My good friend, I am great, and it's good to be back to work in that capacity, and hopefully we'll see you and Crystal on Sixers Outsiders as well.
I really hope so. Now, we have some more details. Obviously, July 31st is the date. They say that June 15th will be the day that the international players return. They will all report on June 21st for almost like a mini camp type of situation. And on the 22nd of June, that's when the coronavirus testing, the regular testing, will begin. So there were a lot of people who were worried about the safety of this situation. Testing for a full month out ahead of time and beginning some isolation, do you think that'll help mitigate some of the health concerns that people have?
I'm not a doctor, but as I view it on the surface, I would say certainly any kind of testing has to be of benefit. I would also think that down the road, there'll be more testing. There'll be consistent and constant testing. I think that has to be part of it. So, yes, while the NBA did announce that they're going to try to resume the season on or around July 31st, I mean, my goodness, there are still so many logistical things to be worked out as it relates to the health and safety of the players. I can't imagine what must be going on right now, but I'm sure there are a lot of people doing a lot of work to make sure that this thing can go off and go off as safely as possible.
You're absolutely right. They say training camp would begin June 30th, hypothetically, assuming everything goes safely, and then July 7th is when all the teams would then travel down to Orlando. It will be very interesting to see how this plays out. It was 29-1 on the vote. Do you think that it was, what do you think was the main motivating factor? Was it the $900 million for the playoffs? Was it just wanting to have some normalcy? Was it all of the above? Why do you think the NBA has been so able to come up with the deal while Major League Baseball, for example, has just been completely impossible for them to come up with a deal?
I can't really comment on the baseball situation. I'm more familiar, Tyrone, with my own backyard. Right. I know that Adam Silver is a great leader. He's a great commissioner. He has always made it a point to engage the players' union, whether it's on social issues and certainly on economic issues. I know that the owners, in the person of Adam Silver and his staff, have been in regular touch with Michelle Roberts and the NBA Players Association to get this done, and they will be as they dot the I's and cross the T's are going forward. So I still think there's some work to be done, but listen, the NBA A is a part of our fabric. We love the game. We love the game as fans. It's a part of my livelihood, obviously. So I'm happy that it's back, and that has to be a driving factor, and it's a business. So that has to be a driving factor. To not have games, to not be able to get the television revenue, to cost yourself some branding because you're going to take even more months off and not finish the season, I think are all things that legislated positively toward getting this thing going again. And I am elated with today's announcement. I can't wait to get started again.
I'm completely with you. Shifting to the Sixers, they're the sixth seed right now. You have like the eight. The plan for the eight regular season games, they could move up as high as four, or who knows, realistically, it seems like four would be realistic. As a man who watched every dribble of every game all season long, are you more comfortable with them avoiding the Bucks in that second round possibly, or would you be okay with them getting the four seed, perhaps getting quote-unquote home court advantage in that first round and having to see those Bucks in the second round?
You know, Tyrone, this is such a tough question to answer only because this is so totally new.
Yeah.
I think that if you're a coach, let's say, you can go back and take a look at the analytics and say to yourself, okay, what was trending in the right direction? What was not trending in the right direction? Do we take these eight games to tweak some lineups and that sort of thing? There are many unanswerable questions you're talking about now. How will players react to playing without fans, playing in a closed environment, playing with the fear that there's the possibility of infection. I'm not even talking about the Bucks for a second, okay? I'm just talking about, you know, how are people going to react with all of these unknowns?
Yeah.
You know, I did have one thought in that there, when I think back on how the regular season played out and how great the Sixers were at home and how subpar they were on the road, well, the playing field here now is level.
Yeah.
So you're not playing in Milwaukee's arena. You're playing the Bucks in a gym without fans. That's in neutral territory. How does that affect things? You know, there are certain circumstances whereby it's not just going to be about matchups, but, you know, these other factors that are taking place. So I think if you're the Sixers and you've been aiming for the playoffs, and now you've been reinforced with other players that you've been able to pick up along the way, I think you have to say to yourself, sooner or later, we're going to have to meet the best, whether it's the finals or the conference finals. So we might as well take the guys who we have on our roster and put them up against whoever it is that we face and see how we make out.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
That's a good point. And if they were to move up, that means in those eight games, this new roster, like this whole new season, that means they're playing good basketball. And I guess maybe playing good basketball, entering these new playoffs, maybe that's more important than anything else. Maybe this team, if they can get everybody healthy and everybody back together, I know you talked about it a lot during about how few games this team really got to play together. Maybe if they're all together and playing well for those eight games, they go 6-2 or something, 7-1, they're going with momentum, and it doesn't matter who they play because they're playing their game at a high level.
Or maybe to some extent, does the coaching staff decide, all right, we're going to take these eight games and maybe experiment with some lineup changes.
Yeah.
You know, I know that for that one game or a couple of games, at least Al Horford came off the bench, then he was put back in the starting lineup. That has to be the most obvious thing to consider. I would think that if anything, maybe the coaches put more premium on experimentation and tweaking and less on trying to get quote unquote the best possible seed or to avoid the Bucks or what have you. And then let the chips fall where they may in the postseason.
That makes a lot of sense. We're talking to Mark Zumoff. Everybody knows play-by-play for the Sixers on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Shake Milton's a guy that fans call about all the time. Whenever we talk about the Sixers, he comes up because people were down on Al Horford towards the end of the year. Fans were down on him, just speaking from a fan's perspective. And they were impressed with Shake Milton against the Clippers. And he had a nice little spurt, and then the season gets paused. Do you think it's possible that Shake Milton can be this wild card coming back, or is it just way too much to ask for a guy like him to step in and actually play like playoff minutes for a contender?
It's a really good question, and I would say this. It's great to have options because the Sixers went out and got a couple of wing players before the trade deadline, and Glenn Robinson and Alec Burks, and now they have a wing player who has, I'm sure, more than exceeded their expectations, certainly for this season. I do want to go back to the decision to acquire Al Horford and how good I think it looked to most fans in the summer.
Yes.
Where you knew that you were going to get a limited amount of games out of Joel Embiid, where you thought that if they started next to each other, that Horford with his high post passing and his outside game could potentially be a complement. Now perhaps the analytics or the results have shown you otherwise, and perhaps putting a guy like Shake Milton in the starting lineup and, let's say making Ben Simmons more of a point power forward than anything else would be the way to go and bring Horford off the bench. And then something we haven't even talked about is getting Ben Simmons up to speed. I mean, not only has he been in the same boat with the rest of the players, but he missed, what, a good month or so before all this started with his back problems. And he hasn't even played two-on-two basketball yet, let alone five-on-five. So I think the most immediate concern right now is to get him to full speed. And then, you know, do you tweak the lineup? Well, I would think that that eight-game regular season finale is going to be play a big part in determining whether or not you tweak the lineup or not. But, yeah, I think it is certainly something that the coaches would consider, absolutely.
Yes, and my next question was actually, and final question was going to be about Ben Simmons, because Joel Embiid, we won't know about his conditioning until the games start. We'll hear things, but we won't know for sure. But that Ben Simmons back, a lot of people thought, well, this is good because this gives him a lot of time to rest, and maybe if the season doesn't get interrupted, he doesn't come back because of the back. But you just mentioned he hasn't played any basketball since February, basically. It was the game after the All-Star break against the Bucks, and we really haven't seen him play any basketball. He hasn't played much basketball at all since then. Would it be unrealistic or unfair to ask him to perform at the highest of high levels after this long layoff?
It's a really good question. I've been actually thinking about this, and while many players have been, like many of us, quarantined, secluded, what have you, and away from basketball, Ben Simmons was clear to have some level of physical therapy during all of this.
Yeah.
So will that help in his conditioning? That is the one thing, Tyrone, that is controllable, is your fitness level, the fitness level of your players.
Yeah.
The rest of it, how they react to this new atmosphere, playing on a neutral court without fans and everything else, that's something that you're going to have to find out as it reveals itself. But having players in shape and at a good fitness level is certainly something that can be controlled. Ben Simmons has shown, except for this back injury, has shown a remarkable ability to play big minutes, to recover quickly from injury, previous injuries. I think the previous two seasons missed only one or two games in each season. So, you know, with Ben, you never know. I'm sure the Sixers will want to be careful, as any team would with an all-star, and make sure that they don't rush things. They're going to have to work carefully with the medical personnel. And those 3 weeks, you say, arriving July 7th and playing on or around the 31st, that's going to tell them a lot. And maybe those eight games they will use to kind of ease him back into it. And then hopefully by the playoffs, we'll be able to play his normal 35 minutes.
Yeah, I hope so. Listen, I'm very excited that they voted to come back. I can't wait to hear you and Ala get back to doing games. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it, Mark.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.